If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.
Today is Tuesday, January 4th. We'll tell you how the Omicron surge has schools and businesses rethinking reopening plans and another new decision about COVID-19 booster shots. Also, it turns out one CEO's fake it till you make it approach could land her up to 20 years in prison. Plus, a new plan the White House hopes will lower the cost of meat, the end of an era for an iconic smartphone, and a multi-million dollar music sale that kicks off a celebration. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in around 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. Once again, American health regulators are expanding the number of people who are eligible for booster shots. They say they're hoping to protect more Americans against the worst symptoms of COVID-19, especially those that come from the Omicron variant, since it's now spreading quickly around the country. So this week, the FDA authorized a third shot of Pfizer's vaccine for all 12 to 15-year-olds. The shots were already available to people 16 and up. On top of adolescents, the FDA says some younger kids can get a booster as well. Kids ages 5 to 11 can get that extra dose if their immune systems are compromised in some way, like if they've had an organ transplant. Also now, for everyone who's eligible, the FDA says you no longer have to wait 6 months between your second and third Pfizer shots. It now says 5 months will do. A panel of vaccine experts that advises the CDC will meet about all of these changes tomorrow and decide whether to recommend them too. If the CDC also signs off, doctors' offices, schools, and other vaccination sites could start following these guidelines by the end of this week. Already, health experts have been urging Americans to get a booster, since early research shows it's needed to keep the vaccine's protection strong against Omicron. Remember, American adults can get booster shots from Pfizer, Moderna, or Johnson & Johnson, and they can mix and match if they want. But for kids 17 and younger, the Pfizer vaccine is still their only option. The others aren't yet authorized for their age group. By the way, boosters are not the only things changing in the face of Omicron. More big businesses like Goldman Sachs and Chevron once again delayed their return to office plans. And thousands of American schools delayed this week's return to classrooms after the holiday break. More large school districts like in Detroit, Milwaukee, Cleveland, and Atlanta have decided to go back to all virtual learning. So have many colleges and universities. A jury's decision may have just capped the downfall of a woman once known as the next Steve Jobs. The founder and former CEO of Theranos, Elizabeth Holmes, was found guilty of fraud. Her federal trial lasted nearly 4 months. In that time, prosecutors called more than 30 witnesses, including former employees, business partners, and investors. And Holmes took the witness stand for more than 20 hours to defend herself. But really, this case dates back to 2003, when Holmes founded her company, Theranos. The company claimed to have a test that could detect conditions like cancer and diabetes with just a few drops of blood. But it turns out the tests did not work. Fast forward to 2018, Theranos had collapsed, and Holmes and another top executive were charged with fraud. Then this week, she was convicted on 4 counts that basically say she lied to investors, tricking them out of nearly $1 billion. On the stand, Holmes said her ex-boyfriend and former Theranos deputy abused her, and she said that clouded her judgment. Still, Holmes faces up to 20 years in prison. Because she's a first-time offender, some legal experts say she's unlikely to get the full term. Her sentence will be handed down in another court hearing that has not yet been scheduled. Meanwhile, Holmes' ex-boyfriend and former deputy is facing a separate fraud trial next month. Then this case goes to Hollywood. A Hulu series is expected to come out about Holmes in March. There's also a feature film underway about Theranos in which actress Jennifer Lawrence agreed to play Holmes. Already, the Theranos scandal has been detailed in a documentary, a podcast series, and a best-selling book. It looks like a crisis is worsening in the Caribbean nation of Haiti. Less than 6 months after its president was assassinated, the country's new prime minister had to flee. His office says a group of gunmen tried to assassinate him, too, as he was celebrating Haiti's independence. Haitian media is pointing to possible gang involvement. Ever since the president's killing over the summer, gangs have become more powerful. They now effectively control parts of the country and have been behind a surge of mass kidnappings for ransom. Meanwhile, many people are still challenging the prime minister's legitimacy. He was sworn in barely 2 weeks after the president's death, and a new president hasn't been elected just yet. Separately, South Africa's government was targeted this week. A man was arrested for setting a fire in the country's 130-year-old parliament complex. Images from the scene show flames shooting out of the top of the building and plumes of thick black smoke pouring into the streets of Cape Town. As CNN reports, the building was gutted. Thankfully, the parliament is not in session because of the holidays, so no one was hurt. The suspect is expected in court today, but for now, it's not clear what his motivation might have been. To be continued. Well, this week, much of the United States has been dealing with frigid temperatures, heavy snow, and strong winds. The Southeast, Mid-Atlantic, and Pacific Northwest were all hit by winter storms. Federal offices and schools were forced to close, thousands of flights were grounded, roads were shut down, and power was knocked out for thousands of people. In Washington State and Oregon, most of the snow fell in the mountains, but big cities like Portland got heavy rain that caused some flooding. Now the flooding threat is expected to continue for the rest of the week. On the other side of the country, it's finally expected to stop snowing today, but there will still be a lot of ice and snow left on the ground. About 9 inches of snow fell in Washington, D.C. and surrounding areas yesterday. About 16 inches of snow was measured in Maryland. Snowy, icy roads caused dozens of traffic crashes. Trees and power lines toppled to the ground, and COVID-19 testing sites were closed. But on a lighter note, this weather also brought out hundreds of people from the Washington, D.C. Snowball Fight Association. They gathered outside the Smithsonian Castle to throw snowballs in the National Mall. And kids got out to make snow forts, snowmen, and snow angels. This was the most snow Washington, D.C. has gotten from one storm since 2016. More news is coming up, but first let's take a quick break to thank our sponsor. It's a new year, which means it's time for new ideas. Turns out that women may be better investors than men. That's right, according to recent research, women investors outperform their male counterparts. So what gives some women investors an edge? The research shows they're more likely to invest in alternative assets, ones that help diversify their portfolios and are less correlated to traditional stocks and bonds. One of those assets is blue chip contemporary art. And typically, it's only the bajillionaires, think Beyonce and Bezos, who can afford a chic Picasso for their walls, right? But Masterworks is changing all of that. Masterworks is the startup democratizing the art market, giving everyday investors a piece of the art pie, or palette, to be metaphorical. They've made blue-chip art investable, so you can own a fraction of a multi-million-dollar piece of art. That way, anyone can add paintings by artists like Monet, Basquiat, and Banksy to their portfolio without paying millions. And you can join them by going to masterworks.art/newsworthy. Again, that's masterworks.art/newsworthy. See important disclosures at masterworks.io/disclaimer. President Biden hopes a new plan will help fight inflation and bring down the rising cost of food. He's dedicating $1 billion to help out independent meat producers. The hope is the extra billion will boost competition in the meat market and, in turn, lower prices on the shelves. The White House blames the food price hikes on large companies having too much power. For example, just 4 big meatpacking companies control 85% of the U.S. beef market. President Biden met virtually with farmers, ranchers, and independent processors yesterday to talk about his new plan. And the Oklahoma Farmers Union says it'll help farmers keep more of the profits when meat is sold. The plan includes money for financing grants, guaranteeing loans, worker training, and more. But not everyone is on board. Some are skeptical it'll do enough to solve the problem. And others say the blame is not in the right place. Reps for much of the meatpackers industry say the higher prices are simply because of labor shortages, higher gas prices, and supply chain problems. Either way, the money for the new plan will come from COVID relief funds that were passed last year. Apple hit a major milestone yesterday, becoming the first publicly traded company to ever be worth $3 trillion. That's more than the GDP of the UK. It did not stick, though. Just after Apple topped a market value of $3 trillion, it dipped just below that to close out the day. Still, this means Apple has tripled its value in less than 4 years. The company has benefited from its new iPhone 13 and other older models rising in sales. Plus, it has subscription services like Apple Music, Apple TV, iCloud, and the App Store. And there are a lot of new products expected this year, like upgraded AirPods, a virtual reality headset, the iPhone 14, and more. Of course, Apple's tech rivals are worth quite a bit as well, but not $3 trillion. Microsoft is now worth about $2.5 trillion, and Google owner Alphabet's market value is right around $2 trillion. If you're still using your old BlackBerry, it might finally be time to move on. Starting today, BlackBerries that use the company's operating systems will officially stop working. Those devices will not be able to use data, text, or call, not even to 911. But this change does not impact newer devices like the BlackBerry Key 2, since that one runs on Android, and it was manufactured by the Chinese company TCL. Still, for a lot of people, this represents the end of an era. The first BlackBerry smartphone arrived in 2002, and for years, it led the personal tech industry. BlackBerries were popular with politicians, professionals, and celebrities. But its share of the market has been shrinking ever since the iPhone debuted in 2007. That said, some BlackBerry fans are still hoping for a comeback. It's the latest big-name deal in the music industry. Warner Music Group spent more than $250 million for the rights to an iconic rock star's music. The deal was reached with the estate of the late David Bowie after months of negotiations. The catalog spans six decades of hits, including songs like Heroes, Changes, Space Oddity, Let's Dance, and many, many more. It covers songs from his 26 studio albums, plus a posthumous album release that comes out this Friday called Toy. And that new release is just the start of a Bowie weekend on what would have been his 75th birthday. As part of Bowie 75, there will be pop-up stores in New York and London. And a new Bowie film is in the works, made up of thousands of hours of rare Bowie performances. It could premiere later this month. That's it for the main news today, but now it's time for Trivia Tuesday, when we ask a different trivia question every week. But first, a quick break to thank our sponsor, KiwiCo. A new year is always a great time to discover new things about ourselves and our interests. And it's just as important for the kids in our lives to make these same discoveries. With a KiwiCo subscription, your child can discover something new all year long. Kids can discover the engineering and mechanics behind everyday objects, the science and chemistry of cooking, geography and culture from new cultures, and brand new art and design techniques, all through seriously fun, hands-on projects. In addition to getting KiwiCo crates for my son at our house, I bought my 5-year-old niece in a different state a KiwiCo subscription that she is already loving. KiwiCo has something for kids of all ages, and there's no commitment, so you can pause or cancel anytime. Redefine learning with play. Explore hands-on projects that build confidence, creativity, and critical thinking skills all year long. And right now, you can get 50% off your first month, plus free shipping on any crate line with code NEWSWORTHY at KiwiCo.com. That's 50% off your first month at KiwiCo, KiwiCo.com with the promo code NEWSWORTHY. Okay, back to Trivia Tuesday. Today's trivia question is, the actor Tom Cruise considered pursuing a career in what sport before getting hurt? You can answer the question and play along with us on Instagram. Just find and follow us at NEWSWORTHYPOD. Look for the trivia quiz in our Instagram stories today. As for last week's trivia question, on every continent except Antarctica, there is a city named what? The answer is Rome. That's right, every habitable continent has a city called Rome. Obviously, the most famous is the capital of Italy. There are also at least 18 Romes here in the United States, like in Georgia, Kentucky, Indiana, New York, and Illinois. But to clarify, different languages translate Rome differently. The original Italian word is actually Roma. So some of the cities still pronounce it that way. Like South America has a Roma in Peru. There's a Roma in Southern Africa. And Australia has a Roma in Queensland. So I guess the next time you say, when in Rome, you should probably be more specific. All right, thank you so much for tuning into the Newsworthy today and every day and for sharing the show. We'll be back with another news roundup tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.